individually, and also upon this, our fellowship. We all know that we're very much a church of very sincere worship. Last Sunday, with such a powerful message, our brother Rob brought before us his message that he entitled, Time to Choose. And I believe it did speak to each one of us separately, in a way where we perhaps inwardly started to examine ourselves accordingly. And today shall be similar. Which makes me think that maybe the Holy Spirit is leading we of CPC on a very, very remarkable journey. I say this because when Pastor David, now sitting at the back, asked if I could bring today's message, I knew nothing of what was on Rob's mind the last Sunday. But somehow, what I shall speak follows on with that theme. However, for today, I've used a title, A Challenge of Love. With prayer, that word love opened up within my mind, and it came with a challenge. I felt guided into looking deeper as an individual into that particular theme. And I was steered towards how love was taught by Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, and was thus guided into scriptures that as believers we all know so well. And as we give thought to them, I will ask that each of us hears them and gives thought as to how we ourselves individually should act on their instruction. I think I remember Rob last week hinting that as humans we tend to do things our way, adjusting what the Bible says to suit our mood and attitude and thoughts, which is so true but not necessarily righteous. Anyway, just a short time back, by chance, I met up with an old friend whilst wandering the streets of town. And of course, we stopped to have a chat. And he said, fancy coming for a quick coffee? To which I answered, and listen to this please, yes, I would love a cup of coffee. Yeah. Now, my friends, I love my wife. I love you, my church family. And this will be a struggle, but I even love Luton Town Football Club. But surely, telling someone that I could love a cup of coffee sounds ridiculous. How, for example, can I today stand here and tell you that I love Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour? But I also love a cup of coffee. However, there are, of course, many different ways for concerning the power and meaningfulness of L-O-V-E, love, especially when they come to us through the teachings of Jesus, his purity, honesty, sincerity is way above the thoughts of most of we of humankind. Thus, when later I came to the realization that the Holy Spirit was actually steering me towards bringing before you a message about L-O-V-E, I had a minor panic. As just mentioned, the subject matter itself is extremely vast. And it didn't really become any easier when that voice within hinted to me that my theme should concern only God's love and biblical explanations of such. Jesus's thoughts of mind do immediately and wholly speak total truth. Thus, I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Mark 12:30-31. And these, of course, are the words and thoughts of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will know this so well. And you, let me just say, by the way, I'm speaking from the New English Bible, the New James and Jake, Lord James, you got it. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Our Lord Jesus, on this particular occasion, was being questioned by some of the Jewish religious teachers of that time, who over the years had somehow cluttered up their faith with hundreds of rules derived from early and traditional interpretations. An example of this might, for instance, be, I wonder if you know this one, don't spit on the sand on the Sabbath. Now, how can that be held as being important as love your neighbor? And we might say, because of such, our Father in heaven had perhaps come to see the need of sending his beloved Son down to earth. But let's move on. Let's move on by giving thought to loving our neighbor. Friends, I'm sure that you are aware that, biblically speaking, neighbours are not restricted to those who live next door or even close by. Rather, they are interpreted by God as being anyone who is close by, for whatever reason that might be. They might be just passing through or someone who we are in communication with. And then, of course, comes that word again, L-O-V-E, love, which truthfully guides us into making no negative judgments concerning things such as race, culture, religion, or whatever. To love them comes to us as a command, not a mere suggestion for us to try and be nice and polite where need be. Also helpful, no matter if such a neighbour is a beggar or a king, a native of our land or even a foreigner. I've always been a believer in the importance of self-judgment. And as the Apostle Paul was to remind us of, none of us are absolutely perfect Christians. Okay, we might not be murderers, rapists, child molesters, or violent criminals, but neither are we sinless. Nor, if it helps a little, was anyone sinless, mentioned throughout the whole of our Bibles, both Old and New Testament, except, of course, he who took within himself our sins as he died upon that awful cross at Calvary. Jesus, in obedience to his Father, died for us, you and I. Church, It shall be through grace and mercy alone that we might be saved, not through our deeds throughout lifespans. But if it's any encouragement, I see myself standing here this morning preaching to a flock of sheep. And that's far better than struggling as a looking after a load of goats. You probably remember that was my preach the last time I stood up here. Anyway, hallelujah. I love and have loved this little church since before this century began. And except for a short break when I and my best pal Terry wandered off for a while due to reasons I shall not mention. But here, in this room, in this building, is love. This is a worshipping church, a loving worshipping church, full of sincere believers, full of Jesus Christ lovers, full of beautiful Christian music with talented musicians and beautiful vocalists, and led by an amazingly talented bit so humble pastor who's sitting at the back. And you lovely musicians and vocalists, I, on behalf of everyone who is here today, thank you for all you do to make worshiping here at CPC a very special appeal. Thank you. All of you. Now, can I ask you to forward your Bibles to Luke 10:25-37. It's an amazing and thought-provoking parable about the Good Samaritan. I look and I think, brothers and sisters, who is good and who is bad? Who is good and who is bad? Okay, Luke 10:25-37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He, Jesus, said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors as yourself." And he, Jesus, said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said, "Jesus, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he, the lawyer, said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Brothers and sisters, this parable that we just read should open our minds and our hearts into spiritual self-thoughtfulness. Have we really taken notice that Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who has been Jewish himself, speaks here against those of his own birth religion and brings to the fore a certain Samaritan of loving worthiness? Do we know the reasons why the Jews hated Samaritans? Well, in those days there really was deep hatred between Jews and Samaritans. The Jews saw themselves as pure descendants of Abraham. Well, the Samaritans were, they thought they had become as a mixed race. And that came about when Jews from the more northern kingdoms started to intermarry with other peoples. And this also was during the time of Israel's exile. We could say that through purest Jewish eyes, they have become mixed racially and culturally, and even to a certain degree, in some cases, religiously also. Thus, and for no other reason, they came to hate Samaritans. Isn't hate so easy? And isn't hate so stupid? How then, brothers and sisters, do you feel about non-Christians? Or about peoples of different race, or different culture? And especially perhaps of different religions? How do you feel, let's say, about Muslims and Hindu, Buddhists, and even Jewish? Do you love them? What a question. Do you love them, or do you have a problem? How do you feel about those foreigners from Europe that we are a nation that just departed from, the French, the Germans? Do you love them? Or do you want to go back to war? Do you want to fight? Giving thought to that Samaritan scripture, brothers and sisters, let me do something very controversial. I might be in trouble here. And bring it forward into modern times. Let me just try this. Two Christian church priests, vicars, pastors, or whatever, walk by uncaring and avoided what they saw. But let me say, a passing Muslim, Hindu, or Buddhist crossed over and did what the Samaritan had done. Are we comfortable when you're saying that? Or does it hurt somewhat? And let's just for a moment consider the attitudes of those different characters within the whole of that parable. So, how about the lawyer who approached Jesus? He had a concern he needed to deal with. But to the thieves, the poor wounded man had been someone to exploit. And to those called two men of religion, he was a problem to avoid. And for the innkeeper, the Samaritan himself was just a customer who paid the bill. But what of the Samaritan? What of he? A man that Jews could hate. And do take note of this. He asked no questions. He went over to aid a fellow human being who he saw as someone who needed help someone who required caring for and a bit of love and friendship. With love, he went over with that heart of compassion. Yes, he was a Samaritan. And what of Jesus? What did he think? I wonder. Well, maybe he thought that all of those just mentioned, and also all of us also, were as then and as now worth dying for. What a price we have. And on that cross, he did just that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thankfully, today I live in a country of mixed culture, race and religion quite happily. And just about every day I am so thankful as I witness on television the loving, compassionate and courageous work of our doctors and nurses and hospital assistants. And so many of them are of a different race, culture and religion than me. Yet I would be proud to call any one of them my friend and neighbour and welcome them into my home. You feel likewise? I hope so. Anyway, just one more issue of love awaits. Can I request you to turn to Matthew 5, 43 to 45? You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons, and I'm going to add here, and daughters, of our Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rains on the just and the unjust. As it comes about, that in the kingdom, God's blessing rests with grace and mercy. In relationship with people, sincere kingdom citizens are called upon to be just like our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, and love even our enemies. Does this deny justice? No, it does not. It recognizes the fact that in the kingdom, his kingdom, God is the only one who decides between sheep and goats. Not you and I, just God. Therefore, maybe we need ask, who are our enemies? Who do we dislike enough that we rank them as an enemy, even though God commands us to love them? What right have we to not love? Sorry. We have no right to not love anybody. Paul in Romans 12, 17 to 21 puts it like this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome ever by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, so how should I bring this love theme to a closure? Our Lord and Saviour left us with a very thoughtful command. Again, not merely something for us to try and achieve, but a solid command awaiting only obedience, our obedience. John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, well, this is what we are, Christian brothers and sisters, children of God. Just maybe only a small part of his family, but he wants our hearts, our souls, and minds to serve him, living with love and harmony and peace throughout this whole earthly domain. We cannot be sincere Christian believers on our own terms. God will never adjust to suit our wills. As that song goes, it's all about Jesus. And it is for we to allow our minds to adjust to his will accordingly and always. And as I said close to the beginning of this message, just working on this message challenged me very strongly. I came to realize many imperfections of myself. And with a repenting heart, I prayed, and I shall forever do so, for his healing into the who I truly want to be, seeking that I can come yet still closer to the one who long ago, in a moment in time and of fear for me, calmed me, picked me up, and set me on this pathway of love and belief. But at times it has been a very bumpy journey. So my hope also is that some of the things we've covered this morning might have challenged you also. Not that I place thoughts before you that might lead you into an even deeper love for God, because it shall be only he who shall guard you, not the likes of I. Brothers and sisters, just know this. Father God really does love you so much. And we becoming truly acceptable to God is everything and only the only thing that we should desire. And so I do love you too, and I'm merely your brother in Christ. So may the Holy Spirit of God guide us all righteously forever onwards, until shall come that day when he calls us home. And in the meantime, as Brother Rob explained last week, it's time to choose. God bless you all, and amen.